What's that?
I can talk about it, but now I'm going
to... Okay. You want to... Should we hear through everybody at this point? Okay. Mr. Rocano is our next speaker, followed by Andrew Christie, and then Steve Shemek. And you'll have 3 minutes each.
Good afternoon, Honorable Board, staff, friends. Joey Rocano with the Ocean Outfall Group. In a word, we're lacking specificity here, and you're asking us to accept the county's plan, which is a non-point plan for non-point source pollution. I would have to concur with the NRDC that you need meaningful detail in this plan. The County of San Luis Obispo is, in my mind, involved in rampant development. And if you look at the whole area from Cayucas to San Luis Obispo and Los Osos Morro Bay, there has been a very lax attitude among the county when you're building with what happens to the water that used to go into that area. There's pooling allowed of runoff in the easements. You can't build something by law and not take care of where that water runoff is going to go, but it's everywhere. And there's been a lot of controversy about that. The first word in urban runoff is urban. And so what we have here is a lot of impermeable surface being created that basically turns San Luis Obispo County into a quick delivery system for urban runoff into the nearshore environment, which of course is a problem, and that's what we're here to address together. And so what we need to do is we need to hold ourselves to a high standard. As you heard that... tourism is very important to this county. This is it behooves us to have a nice place for people to come, environmentally speaking. Now, since we lack in specificity, I just want to say that, like I read today in the paper that Noel King had mentioned, oh, well, this area has a plan, that area has a plan, we should have a plan. But that myopic thinking is exactly the problem. That's the failed policies of the past. What we need to do is get specific and look at this whole county as the Estero Bay hydrologic unit, which it is with the basin plan, with 11 discharges. So what we need to do is we need to invite all 11 discharges and bring them to the table together as a board of directors for the Estero Bay Sanitation Super District. And I call it eBay for short. And in Orange County, we have 25 representatives from 21 cities, and it works. And so what we need to do is stop with our myopic, single, narrow thoughts on these issues of water, because water knows no boundaries, and we need to bring it together into a regional plan. AB 2701 has afforded us the latitude to come together like this, and I think that really what we are looking at here is we've come of age as a county, and it's time to stop funding our municipalities with development fees that just create more urban and therefore urban runoff, and we need to start paying attention to the regional approach, the watershed-wide approach, that is actually our mandate from the State Water Resource Control Board.
Thank you
and
for your
And I thank
comments.
You for this opportunity to address you. Okay. Nice to see you, Mr. Young.
Thank you. Mr. Christie, followed by Mr. Shemek, and then Mr. Hensley, and then Brian Stark.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young, members of the board. I am Andrew Christie. I am chapter director for the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club, speaking on behalf of our 2,500 members in the county. I'm going to begin with a brief dramatic reading from the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program. This is from Construction Site BMP's Section 3.0, General Site and Materials Management, Subsection 3.3, Construction Projects Involving Cement and Concrete Work. This is a brief example of what we should be talking about and what you should have before you today. Avoid mixing excess amounts of fresh concrete or cement mortar on site. Store dry and wet materials under cover, protected from rainfall and runoff. Wash out concrete transit mixers only in designated washout areas where the water will flow into settling ponds or onto dirt or stockpiles of aggregate base or sand. Pump water from settling ponds to the sanitary sewer where allowed. Wherever possible, recycle washout by pumping back into mixers for reuse. Never dispose of washout onto the street, storm drains, drainage ditches, or creeks, etc. These do not strike us as BMPs that could only possibly apply to Monterey. We see no apples fighting with oranges, regional versus non-regional, high or low population density, growth rates, urban versus rural. None of these seem to be relevant to how to store dry and wet materials or how to wash out concrete transit mixers. Monterey reached into the vast universe, the constellation of model stormwater program procedures, which are throughout your staff report and all the public comments, so I don't need to enumerate them again, and they selected specific program components and put them in their program. The language before you today is in stark contrast in the resolution, where we see the county must develop and implement a plan to address illegal dumping in all permit areas. The county must create procedures for construction site inspections. The county will develop road and bridge maintenance procedures, etc. The lack of specifics and program components is underlined or underscored on the last page of the staff report's addenda, the December 17th article from the Monterey Herald, where we see the Monterey City Attorney saying the agencies wanted clarification on design standards for how to limit pollutants from entering receiving waters. We've been trying to work this out with the regional board, she said. We don't know how to implement it. And this is for a program 100 times more specific than what you have before you in the proposed SLO program, and they're saying it wasn't enough and almost went to court to make it more specific. You need to send this back to the county with a directive to put the program components in place so that you will have a program to review and permit, and the county, Mr. Shellcross, won't have to ask the county, I see that you have an arrow going from education to enforcement, and I wonder what you have in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Shemek.
Hello, everyone. Before I begin, I just want to, so that I can go home and I don't stay, I want to look forward to the fact that in the future I'll be also dealing with you as the Monterey Coast Keeper. So look forward to that.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
My name is Steve Shimek, S-H-I-M-E-K. I am Executive Director and here representing the Otter Project. We view the San Luis Obispo Swamp as a plan to develop a plan. And frankly, we find that inadequate. There's admirable intent, but there's a lack of detail, a lack of goal setting, and a lack of monitoring. Frankly, there's all the legal stuff about the lack of detail, but frankly, from my point of view, I find the lack of goal setting as the most problematic. And I just, you know, without the goal, how do you get there? And you need detailed goals. The argument doesn't ring true to me that it takes 5 years to develop the plan, especially when you have put all this, all of us have put all this time and energy into the Monterey Stormwater Plan to serve as a model. So in other words, we've been developing these materials as we go. When are we going to tell people that they have to use them? That's the intent of investing in model plans. We have a sea otter and an endangered species concern. Of the 14 coastal segments, so in other words, the coast is kind of, the sea otter range is divided up into 14 areas. Number one, number four, and number five ranked segments for high and disproportionate sea otter mortality are in this county. For San Luis Obispo County, the mortality comes from toxoplasma, which is kind of generated by cats, sarcocystis from a opossum, and domoic acid, which is toxic algal blooms, and recently that's been attributed to urea. So that puts all this emphasis, frankly, on stormwater plans and sanitary sewage plans. Morro Bay, sanitary sewage. So that's why we're here. That's why we're saying that this plan needs much more detail, much more goal setting, much more monitoring, and you should reject the plan if it does not have specific goals and ways to measure those goals. I mean, where's the monitoring in this plan? I mean, what they said was we're going to go out and look. That was in their testimony. We're going to visually monitor. That's not the kind of monitoring that we need, especially when we're talking about intrusion of ag water into the system that we hear about all too often in this county. Intrusion of ag wastewater into the stormwater system. It's going to take more monitoring than going out and looking. They can't tell by looking. Reject the plan, send it back, tell them to do more work. That's what we need to do. Thank you
for your comments. A question for you. Is there anything more specific in terms of BMPs that could be used in this plan for sea otter protection?
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to address that. I was like holding my tongue. I think when you miss the point when you say, okay, what we want to do is keep people from flushing their cat litter. I mean, the reality is that the vast majority of cats are outdoor cats, right? And same thing with opossum. I mean, the flushing is a source. So that is one source that you are obligated, in my mind, you know, to address, but that's not the vast source. So you have to stand back and say, well, what's the point of not flushing? The point is that both sarcocystis and toxoplasma are in a cyst. They're really hard to kill with traditional, but they die. And they die given bioremediation. And that's why it's preferable for them to go to the dump. So in other words, things like bioswales, that's going to work for toxoplasma and sarcocystis. Get that stuff into the groundwater where it can be broken down and killed by the soil bacteria and all that stuff. That's your best management practices. So in some ways it's in here. If you make people do these bioremediation, the bioswales, the making sure that the water doesn't get into the stormwater system but filters into the ground. That's what you need to do. You need to get the water into the ground, not fast-track it into a water course and then into the ocean. Did I answer your question?
It does. And then, you know, specifically if you look at the Los Osos Baywood area where there aren't even storm drains, there's almost nothing preventing water from just getting into the ground.
Right.
In that sense, that's where we apparently in the Morro Bay area have a problem with parasite.
Yeah, I think that the bioremediation frankly addresses one of the problems that I've always had with this focus on toxoplasma. There is a good paper out there that shows that toxoplasma is actually very widespread out in the ocean. In other words, you know, you've got everything, lots of things that have it. So, or have been exposed to it. Out of this room, I think statistically 2/3 of us have been exposed to it. So that is just a bug that's out there, like the common cold. The question is why does it kind of, not too literally, but why does it fluoresce? Why does it kill otters in that particular region? Well, you know what? It may be the fact that you've got the pathogen. You've got this disease. So you've got this soup of diseases in an area where you also have maybe toxic chemicals or something like that that are suppressing the otter's immune system. Again, on a lot of these chemicals, not fast-tracking them into the ocean is what works. So again, the same solution is going to work. If you can have good low-impact development standards, if you can have good methods of keeping the water from fast-tracking itself into the ocean, you're going to do both things. You're going to keep the disease from getting to the ocean, and you're going to keep the immune-suppressing chemicals from getting to the ocean. That's what you need to do.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Shemek? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hensley, followed by Mr. Stark, and then Kim Busby.
Chairman Young, Honorable Board, Gordon Hensley, San Luis Obispo co-keeper, and I am very thankful that Steve is taking Monterey off my hands and I won't have to travel up there so much. I remain hopeful that the opportunity in this swamp is still ahead of us and that we have not foreclosed any of our options yet. I've written to you previously and expressed our concern, as has NRDC, that the swamp at this point remains vague on many points. That makes it a little bit tricky in the legal realm. And, however, I'm a little more concerned that we move on to the practical matters and talk about the resolution. The point of the whole exercise is to achieve improved water quality. And at the end of the day, the question before you is that does the swamp in front of you, will it really result in improved water quality? And that is the question that you have to wrestle with today. I would like to draw your attention to the last letter that I sent you on February 26th. There were some specific issues that I raised that I'd like to see included as conditions of the swamp, and I am unclear whether all five of those have been included. I think the county adequately has addressed the budgetary commitment issue, and I think that we also heard from Mr. Hutchison about the regular inspection of the storm system components. But I am concerned about the other three issues that raise specifically numeric goals being included in the swamp. The numeric goals, I think, are critically important. We have an opportunity, as you've heard, we're not heavily industrialized. We have an opportunity to establish a baseline now. We need some numeric goals. We need some monitoring that feeds back to those goals and helps all the players at the table, your board, the developers, construction, industrial folks, the environmental community, those of us watchdogging the process. It helps all of us to know whether the line has been crossed. I am asking for specific numeric guidelines as a bright line test. I also would support NRDC's fast track request. It seems to be a reasonable option for where we are today. And one final issue that I'd like to raise comes from the staff report, the issues covered under lack of coordination among municipal entities. For reasons unrelated to this particular proceeding, lately I've become aware that in San Luis Obispo County we have an issue that's fallen through the cracks, and that is private CCNRs that are issued to development. It is very difficult to get a solution to a problem going on in a housing development which is covered under CCNRs. The cities don't handle it. The county claims that it's not their jurisdiction, and it's on the homeowners association. The homeowners association, however, will say, gee, we deal with the condition of people's yards and their paint, and we don't really know what to do about the creek. I would like some thought to be given to language and techniques that could tighten that up. The swamp may be the vehicle to do that. I had a conversation with Mr. Hutchison earlier, and I believe he may have some language and some techniques that he could suggest to you that might tighten that up. My last issue was the MLPA issue in relation to the swamp. And Dr. Hunter's brought that up. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stark.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Brian Stark. I'm executive director of the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County. Over the last several years, we've been involved closely with the Partners for Water Quality, a county organized group of people representing all parts of the county. It should be known that right now the county shouldn't be thought of as a group that's not doing anything. There are programs in place now and actually happening, storm drain marking. Thousands have been marked this year. The watershed festivals draw 1,000 people. Creek days over the last 12 years I've been involved in them, have probably removed over 70 tons of garbage from local creeks. The disagreements that we're hearing about today, I think, are really about interpretations of the law and what level of specificity is in there. Maybe the law is more vague than the plan might be. We concur with the comments by the Monterey Bay National Marine Reserve in their comments from the NOAA letter that the plan of itself does an adequate job of addressing its ultimate job. Like the others, I crave specificity, but more than that, I crave action. And I believe that if the county is held to the timetables they set for themselves in establishing the policies that they're talking about and actually implementing them, they already have an aggressive job in front of them. And I hope that those coming today and wishing for more specificity, I hope that they're engaging the county directly in talks to figure out how to make requirements that are going to be truly effective. Like Gordon said, ultimately what's really important is that this plan results in improvement in stormwater quality. I believe over a five-year period, if held to the timelines of the plan and the development concurrently with the new programs, that the county can achieve this goal. It is an adaptively managed project by its very nature, so staff has the opportunity each year to revise and adapt, and I know the county's willingness to do that. Ultimately, I believe the time has come now for action, and that you might be actually putting more on the county to hold them up to their own timetable than to require them to do too much specifics now because they've already got a great challenge. I think the closest route between the specificity desired by most of us in this room and actually achieving that is by approving the resolution and moving forward with real live action. Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Brian, can I ask you one quick question? Brian?
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. You mentioned your...
Just 3 minutes, right? No.
Yeah, I think the clock is off. It is.
No, I'm giving you 3 minutes.
Oh. Thanks for the
just
notice.
Kidding.
Yeah. You mentioned you have been participating in Water Quality Partners in SLO County. And I just wondered, in your observation, can you comment at all on the... One of the criticisms that there seems to be lack of coordination among the municipal entities, and I know that that group has a pretty broad-based participation and seems to be pretty aggressive agenda from what I've seen in the materials that have been widely distributed. Can you comment on that at all?
Well, I believe that the Water Quality Partners group does represent a higher degree of coordination than I've seen. You know, the Conservancy's been involved in on-the-ground water quality improvement projects for over a decade, and I've never seen the counties and municipalities participate more strongly than I have in the last two. Working together with this group has increased the outcomes of the educational projects. Of course, right now we're talking a lot about public education is heavily weighted as opposed to a lot of this technical scientific stuff. Like the map shown earlier in the presentation, the county doesn't own all that many drains in comparison to most of the cities, and their best opportunities for improving water quality are really to change the behaviors of people. And I think that the work through that committee has been effective in doing so.
Any other questions for Mr. Shallcross?
Has the group ever considered forming some sort of cooperative to do monitoring?
Monitoring's been done in several watersheds throughout the county through volunteer programs.
Not through volunteer programs, through the group coming together and setting up a monitoring program.
I think that is spelled out at some that will come as a step in the development of the plans. That topic hasn't been the top topic.
Because monitoring is one of the issues that that a lot of folks don't want to get involved in. Yeah. And I think it's pretty critical. And it just seems to me if you've got a group together like that, that would be sort of a natural for them all to go in together and set up a monitoring program that they could all then use for their stormwater plan. I know the Monterey Regional, they're doing a regional plan, so that works. It just seems like that's something you guys might think about. I'm a little surprised that folks haven't talked about it, but Thank you.
Well, I'd concur. I think that that's a reasonable expectation of the group, and it should come out early in the implementation.
Thank you. Kim Busby, Calvin Wilvert, and then Bruce Payne.
Good afternoon, Chair Young and board members. My name is Kim Busby. I'm the water quality management specialist at Cal Poly and the one that's implementing the Cal Poly stormwater management plan. We are also members of the Slo County Partners for Water Quality, and I think it's important that you know that this board, this group of people from all the counties, from the county and the cities, has been meeting before the permit was even adopted. And so in anticipation of that, the group got together, more formally got together over the last few years. But yes, it is a very productive group. We are in the process right now of a huge countywide water fest in May, and education and outreach is a big component of that. And in addition, then, we have also the county nonprofits that are also on board with that. Central Coast Salmon, the Land Conservancy, EcoSlo are just one or three of the main people that come to our meetings on a regular basis. Main attention of that group is to combine our education and outreach efforts. Like Jill was mentioning before, having a one focused message rather than all these conflicting messages is very important, we think, that to outreach to our public. And the continuing efforts with our permit and our commitment to water quality. The county plan is a good program. I think the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, you know, letter really confirmed that they are, you know, authorizing the swamp and feel that you should as well. I think the question is, rather than water quality, does the swamp meet the general permit? And I think that, and I hope that your board recognizes that not only does it meet the general permit, but it exceeds it in many areas. And so I would ask that you please approve the resolution and so that we can all get our programs up on board and going. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board questions? Okay. Mr. Wilvert, and then Mr. Payne, and the last speaker card, Pat Renshaw.
My name is Calvin Wilvert. I'm a retired professor of geography from Cal Poly. I'm also a board member of the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo, better known as EcoSlo, and I'm representing that organization today. EcoSlo strives to support and create resilient natural systems and lifestyles in San Luis Obispo County. We've been committed to a sustainable future for the last 35 years. We're very concerned about water quality in our estuaries and coastal waters. An indicator of water quality problems is the increased mortality of otters along the Central Coast. The single most important cause of mortality among these otters is infectious disease, particularly encephalitis caused by Toxoplasma gondii and other organisms as well, other pathogens. The sea otters in Morro Bay and Estero Bay are especially impacted by Toxoplasma. They are 9 times more likely to be infected than otters in other parts of the range. The sea otter is a sentinel species, one that can tell us a lot about pollution problems and ecological change. As a sentinel species, sea otter health has implications for human health. And in fact, there are increasing reports of illness, such as ear infections, by swimmers and surfers. I've heard that comment from a good many surfers, that after swimming, they've become sick. A major cause of contamination of our estuaries is stormwater pollution. EcoSlo feels that the San Luis Obispo Storm Management Stormwater Management Program is weak and compares very unfavorably to the excellent plan in Monterey County to prevent estuary pollution from urban runoff. EcoSlo is concerned that the county's plan lacks teeth, especially the need for strong required monitoring. We urge that the San Luis Obispo Regional Storm Water Management Program be sent back to the county for improvement. Thank you for an opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your comments. Any board questions? Okay. Mr. Payne, you gave me a couple of cards and with lots of notations on them, so we're just talking about the swamp.
Swamp.
Okay.
I guess I missed the part about the stormwater runoff thing. I don't know. Anyway, this guy's a hard guy to follow. I don't have a PhD in anything. But what I do know is I've lived in Los Osos for a while and seen a lot of it. We have sediment pits or sediment ponds, several of them around town. One of them you probably, if you've ever been there, you'd notice right across from the Vaughan Shopping Center or near the post office, one that they just cleaned out a year or two ago. So the problem with the sediment ponds is the thing that settles, the sand settles out and then the water seeps through. But the water being muddy is clay silt, which eventually lines those sediment ponds, settling seepage ponds, with clay, which seals them. They then become a clay-lined pond, so they need to be cleaned out occasionally. The other problem with them, especially if they have a clay lens in the bottom of them, is that they then become breeding grounds for mosquitoes, which, West Nile disease is a very serious thing, and there has been some cases of it. I don't know what that is. Pathogens. In stormwater, I have no doubt there's pathogens in fecal material from wild. Yeah, put there purposely to get rid of the kangaroo rats, which are just about all gone. But the thing about pathogens from human sources is that they are very few, and they are not comfortable in an environment of stormwater. I'm trying to think. I got words written down here. It's not a happy environment for them anyway, and they die. If you're gonna